Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Board update.
Good morning, I'm Mark Grody, and according to multiple reports now, both Bears general manager Ryan Pace and head coach Matt Nagy will return to the Bears next season. Meantime, Bears defensive coordinator Chuck Pagano is reportedly retiring. The Bears have not confirmed either of these stories as of yet. Some of the Bears brass are expected to talk at some point from Hallis Hall to reporters perhaps later on this week. 56 games to go. The Blackhawks open their season in Tampa Bay tonight. Yeah, it's a 56-game schedule this year. The defending Stanley Cup champions Lightning are the opponent for the Blackhawks tonight, and the Hawks do give head coach Jeremy Colleton a two-year contract extension. On the Bulls, last night's game against the Celtics postponed because of COVID-19 protocols. The Bulls are at least scheduled to be at Oklahoma City on Friday. I'm Mark Grody, and you are listening to Chicago's number one sports radio station and home for Bears playoff fans. This is 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Mully and Hall, live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
For me, the mindset is I'm just going to keep trying to get better every day, and I'm going to do everything I can to help the players get better. And I feel like that's how you have to approach things. But the biggest change for me is just having gone through two seasons and a couple training camps and a playoff situation. Just the trusting my gut, trusting my instincts.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is Jeremy Colleton. He is due paper, and the Blackhawks open their season tonight. And we are delighted to welcome Eddie Olczyk to the program, brought to you by El Pamonte Nissan. El Pamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or apnissan.com. Eddie, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Eddie.
Hey, Molly, David, nice to be with you guys. Happy New Year. And yeah, let's drop the puck. Yeah, 56 game sprint, as Mark Grody just told us. And looking forward to being in a building, an NHL building tonight for opening night here on NBCSN, a nationally televised game. We got a doubleheader or tripleheader tonight on the network. And we're the middle game, and just looking forward to seeing the Hawks get on the ice. And in all respect and due respect to what's going on in the real world, we're going to try to do what we can to entertain. And we've seen what baseball has gone through, and in football, and now the NBA and the NHL has their protocols in place. And, we'll drop the puck and we'll manage through. We're all day to day in the big picture, but hopefully people will enjoy seeing the Blackhawks hit the ice tonight against Tampa.
And we're still wondering how they're going to line up the goalies. I imagine everybody gets a shot at some point, but I guess it's a two-part question, Eddie. Who do you believe will be the guy that gets the majority of starts? And, we got to mention Corey Crawford, too, retiring. Crow was, a great servant to the club, a guy that you kind of look very fondly upon. And, you think about Glenn Hall and Tony Esposito. For every generation, there seems to be one goalie that really appeals to people. I think it's Crow. I mean, I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer. I don't know how you feel about that, but I think that the Blackhawks fans will always have him in their hearts.
Yeah, well, I think everybody will think about Crow at one of the celebrations we had, and, you know, and dropping the F-bomb there, and just, all right, Chicago, you know, and I mean, that's, you know, look at it. Absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned that, Molly. Now, first off, I mean, I think when you saw the statement that the Wirtz family sent out the other day, I mean, it was eloquent and it was to the point. And I mean, Crow is a Blackhawk. He spent his whole life as a member of the Blackhawk organization and worked his way through. And, you know, I don't think he got enough credit for what he did. Really in the heart of his career. I think everybody looked at the run that the Blackhawks were in, and, you know, look at when you have a guy like, you know, Kaner and Johnny and Duncan Keith and Seabrook and Hossa, it's hard not to be, you know, kind of on the back burner, so to speak. But as I've been on with you guys for many, many years and talking to you guys individually, it's, look at it, if you don't have it, that being goaltending, you can't win. Like, you're just not going to, like, you're not going to win, period. And Crow gave them an opportunity, even over the course of the last couple of years. I mean, we talked about a lot on the broadcast last year, me and the great Pat Foley, is, look at, you know, the 1-2 punch that Stan Bowman assembled last year with Crow and with Robin Lehner. I would argue still to this day that, you know, that was as good as a 1-2 punch there was in the NHL the last couple of years. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, the points weren't there team-wise, but when you looked at what they did and how much rubber that they were seeing, I mean, they performed extremely well. But, you know, it's, look at, I mean, you know, father and mother time are undefeated the last time I checked, right? And sometimes just whether it's just emotionally or physically or all of the above, you know, sometimes you just got to say, you know what, enough's enough. And he tried it. And now look, you know, he went to New Jersey. He thought he was going to be able to, you know, to pull it off. But, you know, not easy situation when your family's in one place and you're in another, and, you know, the strict protocols that the league has in place. So he was, I mean, look at it. When you talk about legendary players and legendary goaltenders, I would have to put Corey Crawford into that mix. You know, so moving on from Crow, Molly, to the first part of your question, I think for Jeremy and the Blackhawks is, look, you're right. I think that the goaltenders are going to get a chance. And look, you know, whoever is performing well and whoever is stopping the puck, doesn't matter how they do it. I think you got to play that guy because it's a 56-game schedule. And, you know, this team is going to put their hard hats on. And, you know, yeah, there is a change. I don't want to say in philosophy, but certainly a change in how they're going to allow their young players with more experience, or excuse me, with not as much experience, give those guys more of a role on this team. And I had a good conversation with Stan Bowman the other day, now the president of hockey ops and general manager of the Hawks. And, you know, he just said, look, I mean, we're, you know, it's not exactly a rebuild, but we are going with some of our younger players and they're going to have more responsibility. Because when you look at some of the players that he's added, you've got some guys with experience. I agree with him. I don't think you can just go all in and just go all young players. I lived that 15 years ago when I was in, or more, yeah, 15 plus years ago when I was in Pittsburgh coaching, where we blew it up. Like, first off, I never had a Kaner or a Keith or a, you know, a Crawford or anybody like that. I mean, we decided to just blow it up and start from scratch and say, okay, look, this is where we are. You know, this is where we were, this is where we are, and this is where we're trying to get to. And, you know, we had a 5-year plan. Unfortunately for me, I wasn't able to see it through after the first, you know, 2.5-3 years, and eventually the 5th year, the Penguins ended up, you know, winning the Stanley Cup. We won the lottery. We got Sidney Crosby, and, of course, the rest is history. So, but the goaltending aspect of it, Molly, to the heart of your question at the start is, you know, for me, hey, look at whoever it is, I think you hand the rock to that guy and say, hey, look at, you know, if this guy's stopping the puck and we're winning hockey games, it's going to build camaraderie. It's going to build some belief. But certainly the Blackhawks, and it's been talked about a lot, and Jeremy's touched on it in some of his pressers, they got to be way better without the puck. They do. They have to be way better defending, because they spent too much time in their own zone last year and put a lot of pressure on the goaltenders.
Eddie, at least they have braced us for what's about to happen when they drop the puck tonight on the season. I don't think there's any illusion about how bad the Hawks could be this year. That's going to be tough to endure for players, for coaches, for broadcasters, for everybody. And I guess it goes to the heart of, you know, usually you can look at that they have some proud veterans, and certainly Keith and Kane are going to be on the ice. Brent Seabrook has begun to skate again. But, you know, Jonathan Toews is not there. What will they miss the most without Jonathan Toews as he is gone indefinitely?
Well, I mean, the experience aspect, right? And we hope Johnny's feeling, you know, feeling better with the illness. You know, the center ice position is such an important part of the game. And, you know, when you don't have a guy like that, that can be out there for Jeremy to, you know, that has been there and done that and been as elite as there's been in the league for a long time. There, you know, you're relying on guys that, you know, that haven't done it in this system and haven't done it, you know, at the, you know, so-called highest level. But that, look at that's just the way it is. Look, again, no Kirby Doc at the center ice position. That's one of the reasons why Stan went out and got a veteran guy like, you know, like Soderberg. And, you know, he got Strome back into the mix for a couple of years. And, you know, that's going to be your top line with Kaner and Strome and the cat, Alex DeBrincat. But it's, hey, you know, like every team is starting with, you know, with potholes or whatever. I mean, look at Tampa here tonight. I mean, arguably, I mean, I don't think he's their best player, but certainly he is a real important part of their player, Nikita Kucherov. I mean, he's, you know, he's not in the lineup. He's going to be out all season long. Now, I'm not comparing the Hawks to Tampa, but all teams are going to have to figure it out. And not only, you know, navigating, you know, the hockey aspect of, you know, a 10-day training camp, no exhibition games, and dropping the puck, you're also, you know, we're all trying, I should say that in capital letters, we're all trying to stay away from the virus and what happened and what have you. So experience is such an important part, as you guys know, regardless if you're, you know, if you're changing the, you know, the way that you're implementing players or the direction that an organization may be going. There is something for guys that have been around the block, and those young guys are certainly going to lean on those core guys, and as they have in Duncan Keith and Patrick Kane in particular, those guys have always led by example and will continue regardless of what the score is or what the situation is. And that just speaks to the type of men that they are and have become, and, you know, hoping to get off to a good start. And, you know, look at, hey, it's you got to get off to a good start. I'm not just talking about the game tonight. I'm just, you know, talking in general about 10, 15 games. Because usually in a regular season, guys, when you talk about an 82-game schedule, always talk about the 20-game mark, right, the first 20 games. Like, can you make the playoffs in the first 20 games of the regular NHL season? No. Can you miss the playoffs in the first 20 games of the regular season if you don't get off to good starts? 100%. And I think for this team, they're going to work. They're going to be competitive. And also, too, I mean, you know, I heard the clip with Jeremy coming on, him getting the two-year extension. I mean, think about it. I mean, you know, he hasn't had a full season yet. I mean, to really kind of start. I mean, yeah, he's had a couple of training camps. He mentioned that. But I'll say this, of having sat in that chair or, you know, put those skates on where he is, you know, he came in for Joel, you know, halfway through the year, whatever it was, November, I can't even remember. And then, you know, and then you have a camp, you start the season, and then last year, by the way, and then all of a sudden we have a worldwide pandemic, so the season shuts down, and then you get an invitation to the playoffs, you get there and you get that experience, and then now we have a pause and you have a 10-day camp and you don't have any exhibition games. So for Jeremy, I mean, it's really just kind of been an on and off switch really for him. So hey, it's the hand that's been dealt, and you got to deal with it, and you got to find a way, and again, develop these young players and give them an opportunity and be able to evaluate from there. Because look, at the end of the day, I mean, whether it's a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, the evaluation of the plan and what's going on with the Blackhawks on the ice, certainly you'll be able to get a good feel for what you have and what you need moving forward.
And Eddie, I think we all understand that this Blackhawks team isn't the dynasty that we once saw. We've got texters checking in. People want to know, you know, what's the best case scenario? Is it actually losing? Are they at a point where losing is winning in terms of getting draft picks, stockpiling picks, maybe convincing people to waive their trade clauses? I hate that you start a season with those questions, but I suppose they're legitimate.
Yeah. Well, that's probably a question for the powers that be more than for the guy here, low man on the totem pole, so to speak. But, you know, look at, I mean, I think it's to me, again, having been in every situation possible in the National Hockey League, broadcaster, coaching, playing, being on teams that, are hoping to make the playoffs, knowing they have a chance to win, and just knowing that the organization is looking to the future or whatever. And all you can do is just as a player is to do your job and to figure it out. But, it's going to be a grind. I mean, it's going to be a battle. And, the evaluation from within will eventually, take place in a couple of years and see if these young players are going to be able to develop to almost kind of grab the stick or grab the puck from these guys that have been so good for a long period of time. And I hear you guys talk about it a lot. Look at when you're 8-8 in the National Football League, obviously it's a little different, but you're not going to get a real elite player if you decide to say, we're going to take 1 year and we're going to go 3-13, or we're going to go 4-12 and try to figure this thing out. And there are no quick fixes. We understand that, but it definitely comes from young players and how you assemble them. So I think there's a lot of different directions to go, but at the end of the day, if you're a player on this team, you're just worried about today. You're not worried about, what's going to take place moving forward.
Eddie, thanks a ton. We appreciate it. You're, Doc retired, so you're the center of the show. You always are in our heart anyway. But
great stuff, Eddie. Thanks a lot.
I'm sorry to hear that, but I appreciate the love and the support there. We got a great crew, and looking forward. I'm with Johnny Forslund and Brian Boucher tonight, and then Friday night I'll be with the great Pat Foley while the team's down in here in Tampa. I'll come home tomorrow and then do the game on Friday night. Legendary Hall of Famer, the great Pat Foley, and I will be at the United Center doing the game. But we will not, just to let fans know, we will not be traveling with the team this year. We will be doing all the games from back home in Chicago, and then obviously we'll be doing all the games for right now anyways, with the protocols in place. We will be doing all the home games from the United Center. So looking forward to getting back with my partner and calling Blackhawk hockey, and we'll be entertaining. Looking forward to entertaining everybody starting Friday night on the local broadcast.
Great stuff,
Eddie. Thanks so much.
Take care,
guys. Stay safe. All the best. Happy New Year.
You too.
Yeah, you too, buddy. Stay safe. That is Eddie Olczyk, just one of the real champions of the game. I mean, there's no other way to put it, and just a fantastic person to talk to. Love Eddie. And we're going to bring in another great man. That is Dan Pompey. We have news with the Bears. They've got a news conference scheduled, David. I know that you are very excited at that idea.
10 o'clock.
Their virtual news conference, 10 o'clock. George McCaskey, Ted Phillips, Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy. We're getting all the answers at 10 a.m. right here on The Score, and we're excited about it, right? There's no way around that. So we'll get to Dan Pompey next, but I think we have something special right now.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
With Mully and Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Dan Pompey, his name is written in the Hall of Fame, and he's brought to you by Alpamonte Nissan. Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or apnissan.com. Good morning, Dan. How are you, sir?
Hey, Dan.
Great. It feels like we've got a game today or something, right? Something going on at Hallis Hall.
10 a.m. It's an early game. We're starting early. I hope the body clock is okay for everyone, but it's right in our prime time, Dan. Let me ask you, when you see that and you see that Chuck Pagano apparently has retired, presumably we'll hear that today, it's hard not to feel like there's a blame game going on, and there was one last year. 3 coaches changed, a new quarterback, can't score a touchdown when it matters, 30 points in a row against the worst teams in the league. They did okay against a blowout game against the Packers. But the fact is that you got to score touchdowns. How are they going to tell us about that? Do you expect to hear anything about a plan moving forward?
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, I think, first of all, you know, there's got to be someone who's going to fall on a sword, right? You can't have a season like that was as disappointing as it was, and not have the blame pointed somewhere. That's just how the business works. It's how the game has worked since the beginning of time. Pagano is not that guy, because he chose to retire on his own. I know that. So it's not like they're saying, you know, we pushed him out because the defense wasn't good enough. To me, I think really what this team needs is an offensive reset. I don't know how that's going to happen. You know, whether it's a new quarterback, a new offensive coordinator who's really in charge of the offense, or maybe the people you have in place kind of being assigned different responsibilities or given more responsibilities, however you do it, less responsibilities. Maybe Matt Nagy, you know, washes his hands of the offense and just becomes an entire overseer. I don't know how they're going to do that, but to me, that's the thing that needs to be done more than anything. And, you know, maybe it's a combination of all those things I talked about. But I'll say this too. I'm not hopeful that we're going to hear any concrete answers today about any of that stuff. I think typically what these press conferences at the end of the season tell us is, yeah, we weren't happy. We're going to reevaluate everything and look at everything really hard and make the decisions as we move forward. If you recall last year at this press conference, they gave no indication that they were about to fire, was it 3 offensive coaches, and which they did on short order.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good memory, Dan. And I think these things, typically you look for transparency and you look for accountability. And I have very low expectations that we're going to see too much of either at 10 o'clock. And I just wonder, you know, how you can sell progress when you are bringing back the same combination of decision makers. So there's got to be some sort of pivot philosophically. There's got to be something that they package or they try to spin in the way of change, because it's got to change. The arrow you've gotten steadily incrementally worse in the seasons under Matt Nagy. If you want to look at, they're backing into the playoffs. So how are they going to sell progress in that context?
Yeah, you know, I think the easy way to do that would be to make a quarterback change. Of course, that's not something that's going to be revealed today, you know, but if they go out and acquire a veteran or maybe try to draft a player high, whatever they do, I think that's always the great hope, right? Nothing represents hope as well as a new quarterback who has never thrown an interception and never been booed. And, I think that's probably, the route that they'll go, but we don't know that for sure yet. Like you say, there's got to be some sort of change, you know. I think to me, though, you know, there's something to be said, too, for the continuity with retaining Matt Nagy, for sure, because it's hard in the NFL if you're going to be changing head coaches every 2 years, 3 years, unless you're really certain the guy cannot get the job done. You know, you keep doing that and you're just bound to become one of the worst teams in the league that's in a pit that they can't get out of. So, you know, I think what George McCaskey will probably say is, you know, look, Matt Nagy's record is still pretty good. And he has gone to the playoffs 2 of 3 years. And, I think he's done some things that show you that he's got a good feel for the overall team, for coaching the overall team. It's not perfect, you know, it rarely is. But I also think, you know, he came to the Bears as a young, inexperienced head coach, and I think that he has done some things that have shown you that he's learned from some of his missteps, and he's gotten better at some of the things that he did, maybe that didn't generate the best results early on. So, I think that's how they're going to spin it, David.
I think, Dan, that when we look at this team, there are kind of a host of problems, right? I mean, there are a lot of things that you would like to know moving forward. And, you know, the quarterback is obviously the number one question. But, you know, you mentioned in your take on the game, is there a receiver in that game that you want back on your team? Or, I mean, Allen Robinson, it's going to cost too much money probably. Looks like he's gone. I don't know that Anthony Miller – I don't know that Javon – I don't know that people want that. I don't know if coaches can trust people in that position.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, you were talking about two guys there in Miller and Wims who now have multiple big mistakes, right? In the case of Miller, he just hasn't played up to expectations either. It might make sense to kind of do an overhaul at that position. Obviously, you've got Darnell Mooney, who, played wonderfully this year for a rookie, and I think he's got a lot of potential. But you're going to need a lot more than Darnell Mooney moving forward, especially if you lose Allen Robinson. So, that's a position, I think, to keep an eye on for some significant movement in the offseason.
You know, Dan, you said that the Bears can't move on from the quarterback or announce it today. Why not? I mean, if you have to conclude anything after this season, I think that it's that the Matt Nagy, Mitch Trubisky combination really just isn't compatible. And I don't know how much more evidence you need, and I don't know how much time is going to change that. So that would be one way they could, you know, if you're worried about winning the press conference, you could win it that way. I don't know if they will do that. I really highly doubt that they would. But if you understand what's going on here, if you're the Bears, wouldn't that be a way to just, you know, change for the sake of change at the most important position? Because you know what? You've seen all you're going to see from a guy who is only going to take you so far.
Well, yeah, I think, David, at this point, they're less concerned with, you know, satisfying the media and the public than they are with kind of, you know, making the best possible decision with the benefit of as much time as they are allotted. And, I would think that they're probably leaning strongly in a direction at the quarterback position. But, you know, is their decision 100% final? Maybe not. Maybe, you know, there are factors that you can't envision the week after the season that will occur, you know, between now and the start of free agency or now and you know, draft time. So I think if they move slowly and cautiously, they could see that as a benefit that outweighs the benefit of, you know, throwing Mitch Trubisky to the Wolves or under the bus at a press conference.
Yeah, you know, I mean, here's the only problem with all of it. You don't know who's available or what options you have. I mean, it's easy to say this is not the solution, and I'm not arguing that that isn't the case, but try not to make any decisions until you kind of have to, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the thing. The question really isn't who, you know, should Mitch Trubisky be your quarterback? It's who should your quarterback be? And to answer that, you have to find out who's available and, you know, what's out there. I mean, you know, you could be looking at a scenario in which you do not have a better option than Mitch Trubisky, especially in the short term. So, you know, you have to, I think, approach it with a complete open mind and look at what's there. I mean, you know, maybe there's a better option out there that would require more in terms of resources and compensation that you want to give. You know, maybe it would take trade compensation. Maybe it would take financial compensation that would throw your entire team out of whack in terms of the salary cap and your budget. So, you know, there's a lot of different factors involved in a major decision like this. And like I said, sometimes it helps to tap the brakes a little bit and move with prudence and caution.
I think the Bears have been tapping the brakes for a couple of years, Dan. I think they're wearing the brakes out. There's no definitive direction here. So I don't know that we're going to hear anything later today that's going to change that. We're going to hear them talk about, you know, praise Chuck Pagano, and he is a tremendous person. And the defense, you know, may or may not miss him. The second half of the season was really hard. But I don't know. I mean, it's just so frustrating because you want to hear – conviction. You want to hear a plan. Hope is not a plan. And I think today you're going to hear mostly hope and things that we have heard before.
Yeah, I think, you know, what they would probably want to do is tell you that their actions will be their, you know, that they will speak loudest with their actions, and they will. There's no question. Right now it's just words. Words don't matter. So if you want to hear conviction, I think you need to turn to Mully and Haw on the Score. That's where you get conviction from.
That's a promo, Dan. Thank you.
Yeah. Never convicted, Dan. Never convicted. All right. So we'll let you go. I just want you to kind of reiterate what you said about Chuck Pagano, that he made that decision, not them. He wasn't pushed out the door, in your opinion? It wasn't made clear to him that they didn't think it was good enough? And yes. Dan, maybe a bigger question, who wants that job if there is this idea that they're under pressure there?
Well, I think the decision for him to not be there was made by Chuck Pagano. He wants to retire. It was not made by Matt Nagy or anyone else in the organization. So that was Chuck Pagano's choice. And in terms of who will replace him, you know, you might not get the bell of the ball for defensive coordinators if you've got a guy who is, you know, being sought after by a number of teams. But, you know, it's still a good job being defensive coordinator of the Bears. And I think the way a lot of coaches look at these jobs now anyway is they're all short term, you know. And if you could make a mark in a year or 2 years, you know, that's sometimes all you hope for, because you're not looking at these jobs anymore as a place to be for a decade. It just doesn't work that way. I think they should be able to get a good candidate to replace him. And, you know, I think the candidate could even come from within. We'll see which way Nagy wants to go.
Great stuff, Dan. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan.
Okay, thank you, guys.
That is Dan Pompey. 312-644-6767. What, if anything, that you hear today would change your opinion on what's going on? I mean, I don't even know what we're expecting to hear, quite frankly, David. I know we got to get to Mark, but just wondering. Well, we'll just open up the phone lines. 312-644-6767.
Yeah. And I don't want to get too far ahead. I mean, I'm sorry if I sound like very cynical about what to expect and the low expectations or excitement level about the press conference we've all been anxiously waiting for, but I don't have high expectations or excitement level.
Have you set your
Mark,
expectations
are you excited?
High?
Yeah.
I'm excited. I hope you guys have set your expectations high for this update, because this is the last
always.
One.
And
I've got
an hour and a half to prepare for the Zoom call that I will be on with it. I'm looking very forward to it, because we don't often get to hear from George McCaskey. And when he does speak, guys, something interesting always does come out of his mouth. So I'm actually looking forward to hearing what he says, what his tone is, what his body language is like. You know, in terms, is he mad about this season? Is he going to give the indication that, you know, Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are on thin ice? Or and we just haven't heard from McCaskey this year. Is he? How much does he put behind the pandemic and how they evaluate things? So I actually think some interesting things could come out of his mouth. And same for Ted Phillips. We don't hear from Ted ever. So I think those two parts are kind of interesting, actually.
Got to be someone who's going to fall on a sword, right? You can't have a season like that was as disappointing as it was and not have the blame pointed somewhere. That's just how the business works. It's how the game has worked since the beginning of time. Pagano is not that guy, because he chose to retire on his own. I know that. So it's not like they're saying, you know, we pushed him out because the defense wasn't good enough.
You got to have a fall guy in the crew.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. I think of him as the fall guy. Is that weird?
Well, no. I think because if you look at the reality of who lost their job after a season in which you were hoping and you know, clamoring, not you, but us, clamoring sure. for accountability, you would point to the guy that lost his job as the fall guy, if you will. Chuck Pagano, they're going to call it a retirement. Dan said he wanted to retire. I'm not questioning that so much, but I think that if you wanted to call this a mutual parting, then like who did that? The White Sox with Rick Renteria, remember that? I think you could probably call this a mutual parting. Chuck Pagano probably was looking at this as maybe his last season, but I don't think the Bears were going to try very hard to stop him if he wanted to do that.
Right. That's a good way of putting it. What's your take here on what they say? And what, you know, we asked that question. I'm just curious, what do you think of it?
Here's what I think. I think we're going to hear them reinforce their faith in the Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace partnership. And that goes without saying when you don't do anything. If there is a Ted Phillips surprise in him stepping aside, it's not to my knowledge. We haven't heard that. We've heard it speculated about. But I would like to hear this, Molly, and I know this is just my opinion. You asked me this. I would like to hear them do three things. Number one, they're not going to do it, and I don't think they have to make a decision before you have to make a decision. But if they – I would move on from Mitch Trubisky. I would make a clean break here, and I would just say it's in everybody's best interest for a change of scenery. We wish him well. He did what he could, but, you know, he's a free agent, and we're moving on. Number two, we're going to be we learned this year we're going to be an offensive running football team. This may not be what we envisioned 3 years ago, but we are going to pivot in that direction because of our roster and because of what we learned this year about ourselves.
I love you, but I got to tell you, I think that's entirely unrealistic. Just given the head coach, you know, they're bringing this guy back, not because, you know, he didn't come here to run the T formation. He did it just to thrill the nation when he took the job.
I know.
And I'm joking.
No, you're right, though. It's wildly unrealistic, Molly. And I guess I'm saying it, understanding that, almost like, I don't want to say you don't – In my perfect football world, that's what I would hear today, because
right.
I think it would make the most sense for the Bears. You know, I don't think that they're getting – I think they're running in circles if they're chasing this idea that they're going to be the Kansas City Bears and they're going to have this offense that is wildly imaginative and innovative. We just have seen too much of the other, right? What's
right.
worked with Matt Nagy? What has worked this season, the most recent example and history that we have? Well – their offensive line surprised you. David Montgomery's actually the kind of running back you thought he could be. You've got a quarterback that can move the chains when you call game, you call plays and formulate game plans within the context of this play-action passing game. Be a power football team again. Smash somebody in the mouth. I think that's what I want to hear.
I'd love to hear it, David. I mean, I don't see – you know, we've watched a lot of football, and I just don't see that. I don't see that in the way they play. I mean, they changed the way they were playing. There's no question about that. But you might be asking too much from him. I'm talking about Nagy. I think he's, you know, didn't he say it was like, giving up? I mean, when he had to give up play calling duties, it nearly
killed
the guy. It was
painful. It was like pulling a molar. Yeah, yes. It was like without the Novocaine. And he looked pained when he explained it. But he still got a job. Why? Well, he must still have a job, not because of his offensive prowess, not because of the way that he has called games, because that has stunk, frankly, since the first half of the 2018 season. He's got a job because they value the culture he's created. And we can debate that even. And I think you've made some really good points about that in the last couple of days. But they value that. So why is he here? If you believe in that culture, you believe in the head coach. If you believe in the head coach's ability to change, to evolve, he's got to evolve into the kind of coach that understands what's best for this roster and is what's most compatible with the talent that you have. And right now, offensively, the Bears' biggest asset right now is their offensive line, their tight ends, and their running back. Not the wide receiver or the quarterback. So you evolve and pivot in that direction.
Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, I think it's I'm fascinated. I will watch dutifully. I just don't know that I'm going to get the kind of answer that I want. And I think that's kind of sad that I feel that way, quite frankly. But I don't know how else to feel. Given
experience says you're right.
Right.
Molly, how many of these have we prepared for? How many of these have we talked about before going in and knowing what to expect? You know how we're going to feel at 11:15. You just do. I mean, you just do. And we're taking notes, and mentally you're kind of preparing for how you're going to deal with this disappointment. And how are you going to, you know, creatively describe this this phrase that exposes somebody as hypocritical or inconsistent logic. I mean, this is what we're going to hear. These aren't new guys. They're the same guys we've heard before. And in George McCaskey's case, since he's taken over as chairman, he's never met the media after a playoff victory because that hasn't happened on his watch. So these all start to sound the same.
I wonder if he understands that people are going to look at this and say, well, you know, typically the Bears didn't want to spend any money, and it comes down to contract stuff that shouldn't be relevant but is relevant to them.
Interesting. Okay, play that out. What would be the gain there?
For him?
Yeah.
I don't know that there'd be anything to gain, honestly. But I'd love to know how he really feels about stuff. You know, I think it's sensible to address how people, what they think of where you're at. And that's what I'm talking about.
I asked it almost cynically because I don't think they're going to be that forthcoming.
No.
To answer the best way that you asked that question is to be kind of, you know, vulnerable, open, and to talk about things that, you know, you don't talk about at these press conferences. They just don't let themselves, they don't open themselves up to that kind of thing. This isn't Theo Epstein. You're not going to hear eloquence that you hope that goes on for 71 minutes and you're wanting more. You're going to be like, It's going to be stiff. It's going to be stiff. It's going to be awkward, and it's going to be unsatisfying. That's what my expectations are for an hour and 6 minutes. That's what we're going to hear, unfortunately.
Let's squeeze in Kyle. Kyle's in the Quad Cities. Morning, Kyle.
Hey, Kyle.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys today?
Good.
So my questions are, with Chuck Pagano retiring, what do you guys think about Lovie Smith and him losing his job at Illinois, coming to being the defensive coordinator for the Bears? That's all I got for you guys.
I was wondering if we're going to get a call like that, hashtag Lovie for DC. No. Number one, never happened. Lovie would never do that. He'd never be an assistant coach at Hallis Hall. Number two, not a good idea.
No. That's a definite no.
Can you imagine that?
No. And no. To put it succinctly, I'm going to say no.
No.
Thank you.
Like, trying to salvage a little sliver of logic out of the question, though, Mully, it will either be, I think, the defensive coordinator you're going to try to attract is, as far as candidates, either somebody who was unproven and on the way up, an up-and-comer, or a coach who's sort of trying to hang on at the end of his career and looks at this as an opportunity to kind of do that. I think it's going to be somewhere at either end of the extreme. I don't think you're going to get in the middle somebody who is at the top of the profession coming to Chicago for what could be a lame duck coach.
Well, we've got a couple people at the top of their professions. They're Dan and Layla, and we're going to talk to them next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.